collapsing at this very moment. A gleeful grin spreads across my face. Cook hasn't forgotten a thing. The drums beat in a frenetic tattoo, and I don't have to understand their strange language to know that it's a breach alarm. Black Cliff is pure havoc, worse than I could have imagined, more than I could have hoped for. It's perfect. I do not doubt. I do not hesitate. I am the lioness's daughter, and I have the lioness's strength. I'm coming for you, Darin, I say to the wind, hoping it will carry my message. You stay alive. I'm coming, and nothing's going to stop me. Then I swing out from my hiding place and hop onto the execution stage. It's time to free Elias Veturius.
Chapter 50 Elias. Is this what happens to everyone when they die? One second you're alive, the next you're dead. And then boom, an explosion that tears apart the very air. A violent welcome to the afterlife. But at least there is one. Screams fill my ears. I open my eyes and find that I'm not, in fact, lying on a fair netherworld plain. Instead, I'm flat on my back beneath the very same platform where I was supposed to have died. Smoke and dust choke the air. I touch my neck, which stings something fierce. My hands come away dark with blood. Does this mean I'll have a severed head in the afterlife? I wonder stupidly. Seems a bit unfair. A pair of familiar gold eyes appears above my face. You're here too, I ask. I thought scholars had a different afterlife. You're not dead. Not yet, anyway. And neither am I. I'm setting you free. Here, sit up. She puts her arms under me and helps me up. We're beneath the execution dais. She must have dragged me here. The entire back of the stage is gone, and through the dust I can barely make out the prone forms of four masks. As I take in what I see, I understand, slowly, that I'm still alive. There's been an explosion, multiple explosions. The courtyard is in chaos. Did the resistance attack?
I attacked, Lya says. The augurs tricked everyone into thinking I died yesterday. I'll explain later. What's important is that I'm setting you free. For a price.
What price? I feel steel against my neck and glance down. She's holding the knife I gave her to my throat. She pulls two pins from her hair, keeping them just out of reach.
These pins are yours. You can pick your locks. Use the confusion to get out of here. Leave Blackcliff forever, like you wanted. On one condition.
Which is?
You get me out of Blackcliff. You guide me to Koff Prison. And you help me break my brother out of there.
That's three conditions.
I thought your brother was in...
He's not. He's in Koff. And you're the only person I know who's ever been there. You have the skills to help me survive the trip north. That tunnel of yours. No one knows of it. We can use it to escape.
10 burning hells. Of course she won't just set me free for the hell of it. From the mayhem around us, it's clear that she's gone through considerable trouble to pull this off.
Decide, Elias.
The clouds of dust shielding us from view are slowly starting to clear.
There's no time.
It takes me a moment. She offers me freedom. Not realizing that even chained, even facing execution, my soul is already free. It was free when I rejected my mother's twisted way of thinking. It was free when I decided that dying for what I believed in was worth it.
True freedom, of body and of soul.
What happened in my prison cell was freedom of my soul. But this is freedom of my body. This is Cain keeping his promise. Fine, I say. I'll help you. I don't know how, but that's a minor detail right now. Hand them over. I reach for the pins, but she holds them back.
Swear it.
I swear on my blood, bones, honor, and name. I will help you escape Blackcliff. I will help you get to Koth, and I will help you save your brother. Pins, now! Seconds later, my manacles are off. The hobbles around my ankles are next. Behind the stage, the masks stir. Helene still lies face down, but she mutters as she shudders awake. In the courtyard, my mother climbs to her feet, peering through the dust and smoke at the dais. Hag, even when the world explodes around her, her main concern is that I'm dead. Soon enough, she'll have the entire damn school after me. Come on! I grab Lya's hand and pull her out from under the stage. She stops, staring at the unmoving form of a mask, one who escorted me to the courtyard. She brings up the dagger I gave her, and her hand shakes.
He killed my grandparents, she says. He burned my home.
I completely sympathize with your desire to stab your family's killer, I say, glancing back toward my mother. But trust me, nothing you could do would begin to compare to the torment he'll face once the Commandant gets her hands on him. He was guarding me. He failed. My mother hates failure. Lya glares at the mask for a second more before giving me a quick nod. As we duck through the arches at the base of the bell tower, I look over my shoulder. My stomach sinks. Helene is staring straight at me. Our eyes lock for a moment. Then I turn and push open the doors to a classroom building. Students rush through the corridors, but they're mostly yearlings, and none of them look twice at us. The structure rumbles ominously.
What the hell did you do to this place? Set charges in sandbanks all over the courtyard, and there might be some explosives in other places, like the mess hall, and the amphitheatre, and the Commandant's house,
she says, quickly adding,
all empty, didn't want to kill anyone, just create a distraction. Also, I'm sorry I held a knife to you.
She looks embarrassed.
I wanted to make sure you'd say yes.
Don't be sorry. I look around for the clearest exit, but most are flooded with students. You'll be holding a knife to more than one throat before this is all over. You'll need to practice technique, though. I could have disarmed you.
Elias!
It's Dex. Farris stands behind him open-mouthed, flummoxed at finding me alive, chain-free, and standing hand-in-hand with a scholar girl. For a second, I think I'm going to have to fight them. But then Farris grabs Dex and uses sheer bulk to turn him around and shove him into the crowd, away from me. He looks over his shoulder once. I think I see him smile. Lya and I burst from the building and skid down a grassy slope. I make for the doors of a training building, but she pulls me back.
Another way!
Her chest heaves from the running.
That building!
She grabs my arm as the ground beneath us shakes. The building shudders and collapses. Flames explode from its innards, sending plumes of black smoke into the sky. I hope there isn't anyone inside, I say.
Not a soul.
Lya releases my arm.
Doors were barred ahead of time.
Who's helping you? She can't have done all this alone. That red-haired fellow at the Moon Festival, perhaps. He had the look of a rebel.
Never mind that.
We sprint around the remains of the training building, and Lya begins to lag. I pull her along mercilessly. We can't slow down now. I don't let myself think about how close I am to freedom, or how close I came to death. I think only about the next step, the next turn, the next move. The Skull's barracks rise ahead of us, and we duck inside. I look back. No sign of Helene. In! I push open the door to my room and lock it behind us. Pull up the center hearthstone, I say to Lya. The entrance is beneath.
I just have to grab a few things. I don't have time for full armor, but I buckle on my chest plate and braces. Then I find a cloak and strap on my knives. My Teleman blades are long gone, abandoned on the dais of the amphitheater yesterday. I feel a pang of loss. The Commandant has probably claimed them by now. From my bureau, I pull out the wooden token given to me by Afia Aranur. It marks a favor owed, and Laia and I will need all the favors we can get in the days to come. As I pocket it, someone pounds on the door.
Elias!
Helene's voice is pitched low.
I know you're in there. Open up. I'm alone.
I stare at the door. She swore fealty to Marcus. She nearly took my head off minutes ago. And from how quickly she caught up to us, it's clear she came after me like a hound after a fox. Why? Why do I matter so little to her after everything we've been through? Lyra's gotten the hearthstone up. She looks between me and the door.
Don't open it!
She sees my indecision.
You didn't see her before your execution, Elias. She was calm. Like she wanted to do it.
I have to ask her why. I know when I say the words that this will be the life or death of me, what happens now. She's my oldest friend. I have to understand.
Open up!
Helene bangs on the door again.
In the name of the Emperor!
The Emperor? I yank open the door, dagger in hand. You mean the low-born murdering rapist who's been trying to kill us for weeks?
That's the one,
Helene says. She slips under my arm, her sims still in their sheaths, and hands me, to my astonishment, the Teleman blades.
You know, you sound just like your grandfather. Even when I was smuggling him out of the damn city, all he could talk about was the fact that Marcus was a plebeian.
She smuggled grandfather out of the city. Where is he now? How did you get these? I hold up the sims.
Someone left them in my room last night. An augur, I assume. As for your grandfather, he's safe. Probably making some innkeeper's life hell even as we speak. He wanted to lead an attack on Blackcliff to set you free, but I convinced him to lay low for a while. He's clever enough to keep a rein on Jens Veturia, even while in hiding. Forget about him and listen. I need to explain.
At that moment, Laia clears her throat pointedly, and Helene draws her sim.
I thought she was dead.
Laia grips her dagger tightly.
She is alive and well, thanks. She set him free, which is more than I can say for you. Elias, we need to leave.
We're escaping. I hold Helene's eyes. Together.
You have a few minutes, Helene says. I sent the legionnaires the other way.
Come with us, I say. Break your oath. We'll escape Marcus together. Laia lets out a sound of protest. This isn't part of her plan. I continue on regardless.
We can figure out how to bring him down together. I want to, Hel says. You don't know how much. But I can't. It's not the oath to Marcus that's the problem. I made another vow. A different vow. One I can't break. Hel, listen to me. Right after graduation, Cain came to me. He told me death was coming for you, Elias, but that I could stop it. I could make sure you lived. All I had to do was swear fealty to whoever won the trial, and hold to that fealty no matter what the cost. That meant that if you won, I'd swear myself to you. If not,
what if you'd won?
He knew I wouldn't win. Said it wasn't my fate. And Zack was never strong enough to stand up to his brother. It was always between you and Marcus.
She shudders.
I've dreamt of Marcus, Elias, for months now. You think I just hate him, but I'm... I'm afraid of him. Afraid of what he'll make me do, now that I can never say no to him. Afraid of what he'll do to the Empire, the scholars, the tribes. It's why I tried to get Elias to kill you in the trial of loyalty.
Hel looks at Lyra.
Why I nearly killed you myself. You'd have been one life against the darkness of Marcus's reign.
All Helene's actions of the past few weeks suddenly make sense. She's been desperate for me to win because she knew what would happen if I didn't. Marcus would rise and release his madness on the world, and she would become his slave. I think of the trial of courage.
Can't die, she'd said. Have to live.
So she could save me. I think of the night before the trial of strength.
You have no idea what I've given up for you. The deal I made.
Why, Helene? Why didn't you tell me?
You think the augurs would have let me? Besides, I know you, Elias. You wouldn't have killed her, even if you'd known.
You shouldn't have taken that vow, I whisper.
I'm not worth that much. Cain kept his vow. He said if I swore fealty and held it, you'd live. Marcus ordered me to swear my loyalty, so I did. He ordered me to swing that axe at your head, so I did. And here you are, still alive.
I touched the wound at my neck. A few inches more, and I'd have been dead. She'd trusted the augurs with everything. Her life, my life. But then, that's who Helene is. Her faith is steadfast. Her loyalty, her strength.
They always underestimate me.
I'd underestimated her more than anyone. Cain and the other augurs saw it all. When he told me I had a chance at freedom of body and soul, he knew he'd force me to pick between keeping my soul and losing it. He saw what I would do, that Lyra would free me, that we'd escape. And he knew that in the end, Helene would swear fealty to Marcus. The vastness of that knowledge staggers me. For the first time, I catch a tiny glimpse of the burden the augurs must live with. There is no time to wonder at such things now. The barracks doors creak open, and somebody barks orders. Legionnaires tasked with sweeping the school. After I escape, I say, break the oath then.
No, Elias. Cain kept his promise. I'll keep mine. Elias!
Lyra warns softly.
You forgot something.
Helene lifts her hands and pulls at my mask. It clings tenaciously, as if it knows that once it's off, it will never get a chance at me again. Slowly, Hel rips it free, rending the flesh of my neck as the metal releases. Blood pours down my back. I hardly notice it. Footsteps echo in the hall. A mailed hand clanks against the door. I have so much left to say to her.
Go!
She shoves me toward Lyra.
I'll cover you this last time. But after this, I belong to him. Remember, Elias, after this, we're enemies.
Marcus will send her after me. Perhaps not right away. Perhaps not until she's proven herself. But eventually, he will. We both know it. Lyra ducks into the tunnel, and I follow. When Helene reaches for the hearthstone to pull it over me, I grab her arm. I want to thank her, apologize to her, beg her forgiveness. I want to drag her down here with me.
Let me go, Elias.
She puts soft fingers to my face and smiles a sad, sweet smile that's mine alone.
Let me go.
Don't forget this, Helene, I say. Don't forget us. Don't become like him. She nods once, and I pray that her nod is a promise. Then she takes hold of the stone and pulls the hearth closed. Ahead of me, Lyra inches forward, her hand outstretched as she feels her way through the dark. Seconds later, she drops from my tunnel into the catacombs with a startled yelp. For now, Helene can cover for us. But when order is restored at Blackcliff, Sarah's ports will shut down. The legionnaires will bar the city gates, and the streets and tunnels will be flooded with soldiers. The drums will beat from here to Antium, alerting every guardhouse and garrison that I've escaped. Rewards will be offered. Hunting parties will form. Ships, wagons, caravans will all be searched. I know Marcus, and I know my mother. Neither will stop until they have my head.
Elias?
Lyra doesn't sound afraid, just wary. The catacombs are tomb black, but I know where we are. In a burial chamber that hasn't been patrolled in years. Ahead of us are three entrances, two that are blocked, and one that just looks blocked. I'm with you, Lyra. I reach out and take her hand. She squeezes it. I take a step, Lyra close beside me. Then another. My mind ranges out, planning our next moves. Escape Sarah. Survive the road north. Break into Koth. Save Lyra's brother. There will be so much more in between. So much uncertainty. I don't know if we'll survive the catacombs, let alone the rest of it. But it doesn't matter. For now, these steps are enough. These first few precious steps into darkness. Into the unknown. Into freedom. This is Steve West. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of An Ember in the Ashes by Sabah Tahir. This program was directed by Kathy Thornburn. Executive producer, Diane McKiernan. Text copyright, 2015 by Sabah Tahir. Production copyright, 2015, Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.